It's one of those songs we should have been standing up the whole time for. It's a great song to stand. Anyway, today our gospel lesson is on Luke 21, page 745 of your Pew Bible, if you want to follow along there, or if you've got a Bible app, you're welcome to use that as well. And it's Signs of the End of the Age. The church year is different than the new year, and we're coming upon the last two Sundays in the church year. And the lessons tend to focus on the end times, the return of Jesus. And so starting at verse 5 through 19. Now some of Jesus' disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign that they're about to take place?" And he replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." Well, this past week, we had our election. And many people viewed the election in apocalyptic terms. And never has our nation been more split on this. If Hillary's elected, oh, it's got to be the end times. If Trump is elected, oh, no, it's got to be the end times. It's going to be awful no matter who is elected. And so we've had different people viewing this in the worst possible ways. And so today, half of our country is celebrating and half is fearful of what is going to happen. So how do we deal with fears? How do we deal with the future, the end times? Well, in our lesson today, Jesus talked about predicting some of the end times. And it's interesting, the first thing he said is this temple that seemed so grand. And if you've ever seen a scale model of the temple in Jerusalem, I mean, it just dwarfed the whole city in that time. It was like a third of the whole city was the temple and the surrounding area around it built up. I mean, it was a huge area. And Jesus says the day is coming when not one stone will be left on another. It'll be torn down completely. And we know that that did indeed happen in 70 AD. That the Romans came in and in 70 AD squashed a Jewish rebellion, and in squashing that, they just tore down the temple. And you can still see some of the stones that are left in rubble that they've left there even to this day. And then Jesus talked about earthquakes. And that time, I understand this morning, there was a large earthquake in New Zealand. But in the time of Jesus, 51 AD, there was a Roman historian, Tacitus. And I love these words. He says, there were so many earthquakes, he said, the condition of the universe was confounded for the destruction of men. I mean, that many earthquakes. 61 AD, we know that Colossae and Hierapolis and Laodicea, and at least in two of those towns, St. Paul had started churches there, were destroyed by an earthquake. And Hierapolis and Colossae were never rebuilt after that earthquake. It was so violent, totally wiped out the whole town. And the ones we're most familiar with is 79, when Mount Vesuvius erupted and totally wiped out Pompeii. And so, boy, if you were reading Jesus and you saw Jesus, when is it going to happen? Well, the temple will be destroyed. It won't happen immediately then, but then there are going to be earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. And folks, that's what they were looking at. And they were certain Jesus was going to come in their time. In fact, St. Paul was so sure that Jesus was going to return while he was living that in 1 Thessalonians, when he talked about Jesus returning again, he said, he made a statement, and then those of us who are still living. And that statement in Thessalonians says Paul clearly thought he was still going to be among those who were living when Jesus returned. And so St. Paul expected, and over the years, many people have tried to predict. In fact, you know, I Googled false predictions of the return of Jesus. I had 20 pages of predictions by church leaders over the last 2,000 years. I thought I would get maybe a page because I knew of Seventh-day Adventists and how, you know, some of them. 20 pages of popes and religious leaders, one after the another, predicting when Jesus would come. And obviously, all of them to this point have been wrong. Unless we think they were all just a bunch of crazies, Martin Luther was among them. Martin Luther, if you remember, called the Pope the Antichrist and predicted that the world would end no later than 1600, as all the signs were there. When I was in seminary, it was Hal Lindsey's The Late Great Planet Earth, and there all the signs pointed, you know, it's going to be in the 80s. They're all signed, Russia and China and all the interpretation, and then, of course, we got the second edition and the third edition. I don't know how many editions he finally came out with, trying to predict when Jesus would come. And today, there's another flurry of people, ISIS coming up. ISIS trying to bring the end of the world. That's part of their stated purpose of why they're doing such violence. They want a world war. They want the world to end. Now, they think they're bringing God back by creating the evil they're doing. And then you look at Zika virus and Ebola, and you look at all one thing after another, and you say, surely this generation is the last generation. Well, the one thing I'm certain of is that Jesus has given signs that are present in every generation. There isn't a generation that's gone by that hasn't had an earthquake, that hasn't had wars and rumors of wars, that hasn't had signs that one could say Jesus is coming. And I believe that's why Jesus gave us the signs that he did, because he wants every generation to have been ready. And just as it could have been in any of our previous generations, it could be this generation, because there are earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. Certainly you can make a case that the end times are coming here and now. So what do we do? What are we to do as we think about the end times coming? Well, what I thought was surprising to me in reading this text, Jesus, in verse 13, says, when all these things happen, this will give you an opportunity to testify. He didn't go around saying, well, let's try to figure out when it's going to be. Let's try to predict when it's going to be. He didn't say, well, if you do all the right things, you'll eliminate the evil in the world. No, what Jesus said is, when the end times come, be ready to give a testimony of your faith, because you'll have an opportunity to witness. And I thought, yeah, if we talk about fear of the end times or when will Jesus come back, the key is, am I prepared to give a testimony of my faith? Because that's what's going to determine if I'm ready for his return, that I have a faith to testify toward, that I can say I believe in Jesus Christ. So don't worry, don't be fearful, but just simply say, what is my faith? You know, if you listen to the little kids today, they had a faith in this saying, he's got the whole world in his hands. You know, that's their witness. And at that age, isn't that wonderful? They don't know all of the bad stuff that's out there yet. Just, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands. But isn't that part of our witness too? Trusting in God when there is evil around us in the world. You know, when I was back in college, I used to be in drama groups, and I remember one of the dramas we did was entitled Christian on Trial. And the whole premise was, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And in the drama, you know, they brought in the next door neighbor. I don't know if he's a Christian. He never said anything to me. They brought in somebody he worked with. I don't know whether he's a Christian. He never said anything to me about it. And one after another, realizing he may have claimed to be a Christian, but he's never shared it with anybody else. And so in our text today, Jesus says, you want to be prepared for when I come again? See as an opportunity to know your own faith, to be able to give a testimony of your own faith. You know, that's what I loved about our kids 2 weeks ago in their confirmation. They gave such an eloquent description of their faith. If you remember, Aiden stood up and said, I don't believe I'd be alive today except for God. That you know, Heidi had had an accident. He was moved in the womb, and he shared that he felt the fact that he was alive today was part of God's looking after him. What a great witness that he shared. And Erica, as she talked about Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You want to quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 for me, Erica? For? All right. Yeah, give her a hand. All right. And she knows what that means, that she's saved by grace, not because she's good enough, not because of her, but it's a gift of God to her. And her faith is in the grace of God, and how beautifully she shared that. And then Andrew shared so beautifully with us, you know, about baptism. That baptism isn't just water, but he said the Holy Spirit came down and made him a child of God, an heir of salvation, and he was certain of, you know, his life in Christ through his baptism. And so to be able to, all of us should be able to give that testimony of faith. You know, it was neat Tuesday. We always look at the lessons for Sunday, and we went around the Bible study, and I got to tell you, I was pleasantly surprised. We had Lutherans who actually shared their faith in our small group who could say, yes, I've seen God present when my brother was dying, and I saw the very presence of God just before he died. You know, yes, I have seen God present in my life, and went around the room, and many people volunteered to share why they believed and what they believed. And so there's a lot of stuff out there, but rather than being afraid of it all, or is this the end time? Will all these terrible things happen? Give your testimony of faith, of the hope you have in the midst of those terrible things. Because what Jesus tells us is terrible things are going to happen. Bad things happen to good people, and that's a reality. Earthquakes happen and innocent people get killed. You know, there are lots of terrible things in this world. And in fact, in the text he says, some of you are even going to be killed for your faith. And I thought it's interesting when you read the text, it says, some of you are going to be killed for your faith, but not a hair on your head will be lost. And I thought, what a contrast in state. I thought you said not a hair on my head would be lost, but you said I could die? Well, you might die, but you are going to live forever. Not a hair on your head will be lost. God will keep you. God will sustain you. God will give you everlasting life. So, yes, there's a lot of evil now, as in every generation. Yes, this could be the end times. But when we face evil, when we face the uncertainties of life, we face it with that certainty of those little children this morning. He's got the whole world in his hand. In the end, not a hair on your head will be lost because God knows who you are, and God will sustain you, and God gives you a future that's guaranteed. Now, in addition to testifying, the other thing Jesus says is to faithfully live out your faith. That we, as to prepare for the return of Christ, is to both prepare a witness and to live our lives. You know, to be people of compassion, to be people of forgiveness, to be people that reflect God's love in our lives, even as our core fundamental faith is that God has shown us undeserved love to begin with. You know, one of the great examples of living out of faith was reading about when the plague came to Europe, and so many, a third of the people in Europe were killed by the plague in the Middle Ages. And at that time, Christianity was just a small portion of the people in the world. And what most people did when somebody got the plague is they separated them from, they kicked them out of the city, just like lepers, so that they didn't want to be infected. And so when you got kicked out, you died. You didn't have any support. But historians say Christians continued to care for their family or relatives when they got the plague. They risked getting the plague themselves and cared for their members. And as a result, Christians had an incredibly higher rate of survival than the general populace during the time of the plague. And it's because of faith, because their family said, I'll risk even getting the plague, because if I get it, I know that not a hair on my head will be lost. I know Christ will still be with him, and I will be with Christ. So I'll take that risk and care. And so Christians survived, and when non-Christians saw the lives Christians were leading and said they even risk death and they don't have a fear of death, that created the largest increase in Christianity. That was one of the great evangelical moments in the history of Christianity, coming out of the plague. The Christians survived, and others came to Christianity as a result of that risk Christians took for people who were sick. And so Jesus says, in this world where bad things happen, give your witness, but live out your faith. Live out your faith, you know. That's what we are called to do. And so remember, there will be bad times that'll happen. There are earthquakes like this morning. The big one is going to hit here someday. It's just a matter of when. Tornadoes, if you live in Florida, you're going to have another hurricane hit. If you live in the Midwest, you're going to have tornadoes hit. That's part of living in this world. Those things are going to happen. But what Jesus says is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Not a hair on your head will be lost, because your eternal future is guaranteed with God. So live life in the face of whether this generation is the end or whether it's just one more generation like every generation before us, where Christians have had to live with hope and love in the midst of the evils of this world. So until that day comes, and only God knows when it's going to come, live out your faith faithfully. And as one of the other confirmand verses that they had to memorize and really is the answer to how do we prepare for the end times, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Dear Lord God, there are evils in this world. Death reigns in this world. And the time will come when you will come to judge this world. But Lord, you have called us to faith. You have called us to remember that the world is in your hands, that we need not fear, and that as we prepare to face each new day and to face your return, we face it with hope. Let us be prepared to give a witness. We are saved by your grace. We are your children in our baptism. We need not fear whoever is elected president, we need not fear whatever earthquake strikes, for you are with us, and eventually we will be with you in eternity. Amen.